Welcome, everyone, to the Woken English Podcast. I'm your host, Gabriel. Joining me today is Facundo Salazar from Miami. Facu, how's everything, buddy?
Hi, Gabriel. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Gaisito Trengo from the UK. Guy, how's everything, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I saw some of your pictures last weekend, before and after the Super Clásico at the Londres Consulado, right? Looks like you guys had an awesome time watching the match.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. We'll get on to the result, but it was...
absolutely. Was really
so, yeah, shout out to them.
So for the menu today, obviously, we're going to be discussing the 3-2 win against River in the Superclásico, the quarterfinals of the Copa La Liga, and an unfortunate, unexpected result last night, a 4-2 loss in Brazil to Fortaleza. And then we're going to chat a little bit about the groups, the Copa Sudamericana group, and the teams remaining in the Copa La Liga. In the semifinals, we're playing Estudiantes, and then the other bracket as well. So I say we jump right to it. The Superclásico, a 3-2 win. A lot of build-up to this game. An unexpected Superclásico. River, they got the first seed. Boca got clinched the fourth seed in the opposite group, in Group B, creating an unexpected matchup. And, of course, when a Superclásico is confirmed, I feel like Argentina flips upside down. The media goes absolutely berserk. That's all they talk about over the radio, the TV, anything. So let's get right into the lineup. We have Romero in goal, Advíncula, Lema, Rojo, Blanco, Lautaro Blanco, who came back, had a very good match. Saralegui in goal, replacing Medina, who picked up a red card. Eki Fernandez, Paul Fernandez, Kevin Zenon, and up top, Cavani, Merentiel, the double striker, the one that we questioned a lot. Facu, I don't know if it was more you. It was definitely me. I questioned it big time. I felt like it wasn't the way
what
to go
mean?
For the
we
Super
actually
Cast.
Love it.
Listen, I'm the biggest fan of it right now. I don't think anybody could debate it, right? Let's get right into the match. I'll take it to Facu first. Tell me what your thoughts were. Let's stick to the first half, which I felt like was a pretty balanced and even half. River took the lead early on with a Borja goal, and you know, we equalized in the dying seconds of the first half, completely changing the halftime tactics or talks between both coaches. So tell me what your thoughts were in the first half.
It was great. I mean, I feel like it was the first time in probably the last three Superclásicos that Boca took the initiative from the minute one. You know, Boca was actually, you know, looking for it, finding the passes, controlling the game. And surprisingly for all of us, River was playing very, not very defensive, but they were aiming to score from
cautious.
A counterattack. Yeah. So yeah. The tactic was that compared to ours. Ours was always like holding the ball, maybe a little too much, but, you know, waiting for that pass, for that cross to make a score. Luckily for them, they had a counterattack that they executed very, very well on the score.
Yeah.
I feel like after that, it was more Boca than River. Again, they were very defensive, waiting for that counterattack because they knew that was the only way to attack us. And then Eki controlled the game. And from there, he just started moving the pieces a little bit, slowly, slowly. And with a 1-2 with Saralegui and Advíncula across, boom.
Diego.
It was the perfect time. I was talking to I saw the game with my parents and my in-laws. And I told him, it's like, we need to score before half because we are having control of the game. You know, when you feel like, oh my God, we need 5 more minutes and we're going to tie this game? That was the feeling that we had at the end of the first half. So that's my talking part about the first half. I don't know if you want to jump to the second half.
We'll stick it to the first half for now. Yeah. I felt like it wasn't like the past Superclásicos where River or Boca convert and they sort of keep hold of the game. River kind of lost control of it. A very minor detail when Echeverri, during River's counterattack, was dribbling up the field. It was a 3v2, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. He took two very, very poor touches on the ball. Two very poor touches that if Rojo was looking at Echeverri, he just could have taken a step and just taken the ball and that's it. Counterattack sorted. They would have never converted. So very little detail, but Rojo was paying attention over to Borja, and you can't, Borja, you can't really fault him for that. Gaisito, tell me what your thoughts on the first half. What did you think of Boca's performance?
Yeah, the first half was really quite equal, wasn't it? But we need to stop conceding so early on. I know it was 9 minutes and it wasn't like the game last night that we'll obviously get onto. But I think it's 9 games out of 19 under Diego Martinez that we've conceded first. That's just,
yeah,
it needs to stop, right? Do you think?
Yeah, it looks like we like to sort of battle being down on the scoreline with Diego Martinez a couple of games now. Yeah, eventually, I mean, you're not going to fight your way back every single game, and obviously that was the case last night, but that is a good point. Boca do concede first in a lot of games, and we have to fight our way back to, you know, level the match and then go ahead and even win it. I think in the first half for me, I obviously loved Eki Fernandez, but I didn't like the midfield too much. I felt like we were getting overrun. I don't know, maybe that was just my outlook. Maybe it's the game that I saw. I don't know if you guys would agree with me, but I thought our midfield just wasn't performing too well. I noticed that Senon was playing alongside Eki Fernandez and Paul off to the left. And then Diego Martinez made an adjustment with that, sort of put Paul more towards the middle and Senon off to the left. And I felt like that benefited us a lot. I don't know why. Go ahead.
Gabby, since we played River a month ago, before that, I feel that they knew that our goals would come from Advíncula or Blanco. So kind of like, I feel like Martinez like, all right, let's play through the middle. So if we close Senon a little bit, he'll have more touches in the middle than if he plays open. Obviously, yeah. I feel like after we score the Advíncula, River's, let's say, mind or psychological effect that kind of destroyed them because they knew it's like two back-to-back goals that were exactly the same. So then Senon had more space because River was a little bit all over the place defensively in that way. I think that's why they did that.
Again, yeah.
I'm not sure, but that's at least what I would have done.
Right. Let's jump right into the second half. We have a very controversial goal, which we're obviously going to discuss. River took the go-ahead goal, leading 2-1. It was a scrappy goal. I think it bounced off of Paul Fernandez and hit Lema, then went in. There's not a definitive camera that absolutely shows that the ball completely crossed the line. I was under the impression that the referees had the goal line technology where it alerts them on their watch saying goal, no goal. I guess not. And VAR took a look. I don't know what cameras they use. From the cameras, from the photographers in the stands that we were able to see on social media after the game, there isn't one picture that clearly shows that the ball crossed the line. I'll take it to you, Guy. What did you think? I mean, that was definitely a dagger for River. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that didn't help us. Of course it did, from potentially going up 2-1 in a Super Clasico to having the goal taken away from you, a goal that you legitimately thought, you know, crossed the line, whether it did or not. I don't know. But tell me what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I'm laughing. Because I just think we got away with one, didn't we? But I don't think it went over. I don't think it went over. And I think the same thing happened in the Clásico in Spain at the same time that was being played, where
that one definitely went over the line.
Happened.
I saw that one. That one definitely 100%. Crossed the line. They have 1,000 more cameras than we do. You know.
Yeah, yeah. They don't have goal line technology. We don't have goal line technology in Argentina either. But Gundogan, who's played for City for a long time, was telling the referee to like check his watch because obviously goal line technology tells you the ball's gone over through the referee's watch. but we've got nothing like that, and I just think that it didn't look like it was the whole way of the line. Yeah. I think there was this one angle where it looked as close to being level with the goal as possible, this camera that was very low down, and I think it was not the whole way. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. I think Chiquito Romero just got enough of a reaction to get the ball out. I'm willing to say 90% of the ball crossed the line, but there's no definitive camera that's online with the goal that shows us that it 100%. There's not one picture out there. Facu, I'll take it to you. Tell me what your thoughts are.
When I saw it,
I thought it was goal. I thought it was a goal.
There's four cameras as they showed. One, that if you like, they're looking from the left to the right, that looks like it went in. But then you have three more cameras that definitely looks that it didn't go in. I'm pissed that in a league like ours, you know, champions of the world, whatever you want to call it, you don't have that technology. It's like you can't spend $500 and have that technology for every game. It sounds ridiculous to me. that we had to wait 5 minutes of the game to check that. I mean, we got lucky. Obviously, it didn't go in. The ball didn't go in. Later on, entró todo. but the thing that happened that kind of like destroyed them, it's like this happened in minute 60, and then in the next 7 minutes, we scored two goals.
Yeah.
Or like you said, from being up 2-1 to being down 3-1, oof.
Dagger. Dagger in a Superclásico. And there was a similar play in the last Superclásico at La Bombonera. Cavani scored and it was ruled no goal, then it crossed the line.
Yeah, but that thing, that's like an offside.
Was it an offside?
Yeah.
I'm mistaken then.
That was, but that's another thing. Like, I remember the offside was very, 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 very close.
So, yeah, it was by like a thumb, half a thumb.
It gets to a point that, all right, what is a goal? Where's not a goal?
Yeah, is there a gray area here? Is there not?
No, I'm a ref. So if you see a camera that's showing you that there's a doubt that the ball didn't go in, you cannot call a goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's how it's supposed to be. And I think that's what the refs were like, hey, we're not sure if we went in. So might as well just not call it.
Right.
But I think it was a right call. But besides that, after that, Boca absolutely destroyed them for the next.
Yeah, yeah. We forced an error. We forced an error. The ball lands in Senun's feet. He delivers a beautiful cross. First time cross to Cavani, who makes no header right in front of Armani. No chance it was an offside. Very beautiful, beautiful play. Beautiful cross, beautiful header from Cavani. I think that's probably the goal I celebrated the most, because I don't know if you guys realize, but when we played them at the Monumental during the warm-ups, every time Cavani scored a goal during the warm-ups, they would cheer goal, poking fun at, you know, his inability to score his first few months with Boca. And they were doing, River fans were doing the same thing in Cordoba before the game. Every time Cavani scores, goal, you know, poking fun at, you know. But anyways, he scored, and I screamed that because I wanted Cavani to score so, so bad. I really did celebrate that goal. I celebrated all three, obviously. And then the third goal, it was Cavani was off to the right. I think Armani makes the save. The ball lands in Merentiel's feet, and he makes no mistake, obviously, with an open goal. But I definitely think it was a lot better of a performance the second half compared to the first. What do you guys think? I'll take it to Guy first. What do you think of the second half performance?
Yeah, there's 5 minutes between the two goals, isn't there?
Yeah, pretty much.
And Senon, oh my lord. Senon and Merentiel. Senon, the ball gets cleared out. I don't know, God knows who it was. Gets cleared out. He just takes it down with his right foot. And it's going at some pace. And he takes it down. That touch spins his body, crosses it into the box. My God, what a cross. Like you said, yes, beautiful to see Cavani score against River. But Merentiel, oh my God. Besides the two goals, I mean, scoring two goals in the Superclásico is enough, right? But he actually wins the ball back in the midfield from, I think it's Herrera, I'm not sure, I don't remember. And he gives that pass to Cavani, who then get the rebound goes to Merentiel. But Merentiel has run the half of the pitch to get into the box in time for that rebound.
La bestia, he's a beast.
God. Yeah. It's just, he's, oh.
What a signing, like $2 million.
He's so likeable, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's so likeable because he just gives his all every single game. Even when he doesn't perhaps impact the game directly, you just know that you're going to get someone that is just really, just hungry to score goals. It's a bit like Harry Kane in a weird way. Sometimes he just doesn't care about anything else. He I just want goals. I just want goals, goals, goals.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
Uruguayan warrior. He definitely has that Uruguayan DNA. Yeah, that's the way he impacts games. Yeah. Fagu, what were your thoughts on the second half?
I celebrated the Cavani goal a ton. But I think that I celebrated the Merentiel one even more because I was at 3-1 with 23 minutes left. They were dead. I wanted to score at least one more. Go 4-1. It really hurt me when they scored the 3-2. It really hurt me because I wanted just to destroy them. The second half, I think, was, besides the last 10 minutes, was almost perfect. No, I lied to you.
Boca it was all Boca.
Same, Yeah, we did what we had to. We controlled the game. You know, Martinez came out and showed, you know, who we are, created a team that actually was playing. Again, I don't remember the last time Boca won a Superclásico and they're like, wow, we played really good. Because usually Superclásicos are like very boring, 0-0, 1-0, blah, 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 nothing happens. And this was the first time, probably like 1 or 2 years, that, you know, a team is way better than the other one. I am very happy that we eliminated for the third time in a row. You know, we needed that. I don't know, I'm very happy, not gonna lie to you. Until yesterday, I was very, very happy with how the week was going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say anything about the game because, again, the game was great. I mean, everybody played well. Besides, you know, Benedetto coming in and doing absolutely nothing. And doing everything
diving in the box.
Yeah.
You guys saw that video?
Yeah, I saw the video. But besides that, I think that everybody played very well. The subs were good. You know, Figal came in well. I don't know. I feel like Langoni came in well. I really like the way Boca played. I feel like if we play that team, like we said before, that's the probably best 11 that we have. So if we played like that against every single team, 9 out of 10, we're going to win. So yeah, we got to continue that. So again, I'm very happy we won, qualified for next round, and they're out.
Yeah. Huge shout out to our midfield in the second half. I thought Eiki Fernandez was just all over the field, just winning balls. He was everywhere. Paul Fernandez had a pretty good match. Saralegui had a pretty good match. Kevin Sonora, I mean, we already spoke about him. He's brilliant. Advíncula and Blanco are fullbacks, key in Diego Martinez's plans and the way he likes to play football, were absolutely brilliant. River really had no answer for them for large portions of the game. So I think overall solid match. River got a consolidation goal in the 97th minute. As soon as that goal went in, they pretty much called full time. It was more so of a 3-1 type of performance, and 3-2, it wasn't as leveled as the scoreline shows, but that's okay. We move on to the semifinals, where we play Estudiantes. The other semifinal is this Sunday between Vélez and Argentinos Juniors, and then Tuesday, April 30th, Boca play Estudiantes for a ticket to the final. That semifinal against Estudiantes will also be in Córdoba, so that's exciting. Anything else you guys want to add in terms of Copa La Liga, and then we'll move it on to the Sudamericana quickly?
Nope. I just really, like I said in last podcast, I'm really happy that we're playing Estudiantes. I'm not gonna lie to you. I really want to play them. Yeah, I didn't feel good how they created all this drama with the last game, and how after they beat us, they came out, you know, talking shit a little bit. So I'm very happy that we play them.
Yeah, we'll see them again.
Yeah, and we're going to see them again, and I'm happy that we will have a Sudamericana in between the semifinals and the finals, so we can focus on that, and let's hope for the best.
Right, right. Gaisito, anything you'd like to add?
Just that we haven't beaten Estudiantes in 3 tries, have we? I think October we played them. We played them in the Copa Argentina semifinals, and we lost last time, so let's do it this time, yeah? Let's do it this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. With both sets of fans, which should be a beautiful, beautiful encounter. Let's move it right on. Copa Sudamericana. Last night, we played in Brazil against Fortaleza. A brutal 4-2 defeat for us. Let me read up the lineup quickly. We had Romero in goal, Di Lolo, Figal, Lema, Saracchi, Medina, Eki Fernandez, Saralegui, Langoni. I think Fabra played as a left winger. That's the way FotMob is reading it to me. I don't know if he was a left midfielder or a left winger, and Merentiela is the lone striker up top. So clearly a mixed 11. Martinez is doing the opposite of what Almirón did last year. He's prioritizing the league. If we're going to mention one last thing about the Copa de la Liga, is if we beat Estudiantes, we make it to the final. If we win the Copa de la Liga, we punch our ticket to the Copa Libertadores 2025. It's that simple. 2 games. Win your next 2 Copa de Liga games, and we're in the Copa Libertadores. This is the formula that Diego Martinez is opting for. Just qualify right away. But it did affect our Copa Sudamericana performance, obviously. A half where Fortaleza came out hitting strong. They scored in the 4th minute. Again, you concede very early on. Merentiel managed to level things at the 21st minute. I think from what I saw, if it was a pretty balanced first half. I think Fortaleza had a little bit of the upper hand, especially midfield. Tomas Pochettino, academy graduate from Boca, who played at River. He, I think, played in the United States as well. Talleres is now playing for Fortaleza. He had a hat trick of assists. We had no answer for him. Medina, one thing I do want to say before I take it over to you guys. What a terrible match for Medina. I mean, he missed the Superclásico. He comes back. He's fully rested. He created two errors in 2 minutes. An Eki Fernandez and Figal error leads to Fortaleza's first goal. So very, very sloppy play from Boca into the first half. I'll take it to Guy first. Tell me what your thoughts are. We can just chat about the match in general, not split it by halves.
Yeah. Okay. What you said about Medina is, it's worrying, isn't it? I think he got a red card against, was it a straight red card against?
Double booking.
He got a double booking against Godoy Cruz, but before that he got a straight red card against, it was either Newell's or Union, I can't remember, a few weeks ago. It's just very erratic, and it's not like him, is it?
Yeah,
I think it was Union. We praise him so much for how precise and how clean he is with the ball, and that he has been one of our best players this year by a long way, obviously. But the last few weeks, it's just not looking like anything's going his way. Now, in terms of the match as a whole, I think what you said about the Copa de la Liga being a direct way into the Copa Libertadores next year defined who we chose, right?
We've got
academy graduates like Di Lolo playing at right back. He's a centre back. We've got him playing at right back. We've got Saracchi, who I think is obviously better than Fowler, but I think he was directly at fault for the third goal. Mm-hmm. And just sort of experimenting with playing Fowler in midfield. I think plus the two centre-backs that aren't playing for other reasons at the moment. I mean, we've got Valentini not playing because he's been left out by it's a decision by the club to leave him out while he won't renew his contract. And Anselmino is still injured.
Mm-hmm.
4-2 is a very bad result.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to play like that.
4-2 is a very bad result.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of, not the worst, is it? I mean, go on.
You have a lot of players playing in positions that they don't really typically play. I mean, I think the overall message here is that Boca has a solid, a pretty strong starting 11, and then two or three really good substitutes, and I think that's about it. There's some academy graduates.
Do you know what?
Go ahead.
Do you know what? I really don't mind coming second in the group if that means we beat Estudiantes and beat whoever we would get in the final. Because
yeah,
last year we were looking at the Table Annual, we were looking at the annual table, getting the calculator out and going, oh, we need to win so-and-so to get into the Copa Libertadores, and obviously we didn't make it in the end. But if in the middle of May you can say we're already in the Copa Libertadores, it's just such a big weight off your shoulders, I think. So I really don't mind.
Just
you can be harsh on Diego Martinez if you like, but I don't mind it.
Right, Faku, what did you think of the match? Another thing that should be noted, before I take it to you, I did mention the goal early on in the first half. In the second half, same thing. Fortaleza came on pretty strong, and they ended up going up 2-1 pretty early on. What was it? The 55th minute? The 51st minute. They ended up going 2-1. And then at the 55th minute, they ended up going up 3-1. So Boca is a constant thing of just conceding early on. Go ahead, Faku.
I mean, I go back to what Guy said, how the teams are scoring us very early. So Fortaleza scored in the 4th minute of the first half, and then they scored in the 6th minute of the second half. Clearly, there's a problem there. I don't know if our players come out very cold out of the dressing room or whatever. But once again, we had this problem where our subs get a lot of opportunities during the semester. And once again, they're very disappointing. I mean, how many times is, you know, Tadachi, Fowler, all those kind of guys going to play and disappoint us. You know, it's like you said, we only have 13, 14 good players in good level. It hurts me to see Boca losing an international game because I feel like we are the international team of the continent. We are what people look at when they turn on the TV and watch, you know, an Argentinian team against a Brazilian team. And I read somewhere there that the last time we lost by 4 goals was like 19 years ago against Chivas. It just sucks, man, to see them score 4 in you. I was not happy last night, to be honest. I went to bed not upset because we still have that super classical high, but cannot happen again. It cannot happen again.
Games can't happen. It can't happen at all.
Not at all, man. We need to go to Brazil and win in Brazil. Brazil is our home turf. We had to win every time we go there. It's very not okay. I understand that there was a long trip, a 6-7 hour plane, blah, blah, but they have to do better. I was very disappointed with Medina. I don't know what happened with Medina, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, gotta do better. And like guys say, if this is the punch that we need to win the Copa de la Liga, I'm all for it. But as soon as we win the Copa de la Liga, we need to win out. We need to win out in the Sudamericana. Yeah.
I think that's the overall goal here. I think if Boca hopefully have a successful Copa de la Liga, end up defeating Estudiantes, going on to the final against Argentinos Rebeldes, and then beating them, I think we're going to put the domestic tournament, the Torneo de la Liga, whatever the hell it's called, in the second half of the year, over to the side and completely prioritize the Copa Sudamericana. I think that's the overall goal here, is punch our ticket into the Libertadores the first half of the year, and then the second half of the year, leave the domestic tournament to the side. We don't need it, quote-unquote need it. We're using it as a ticket to Libertadores, is the way I'm referring it to as. And then the second half of the year, again, prioritize the Copa Sudamericana. I think that's the way Diego Martinez sees things, and so far it's looking like that. It's not looking terrible. Taking a quick look at Group D, Fortaleza pretty much clinched the first seed. Boca in second with 4 points. Sportivo Trinidense in third with 3 points. And Nacional Potosí with 1 point. So we still have Sportivo Trinidense away in Paraguay, which is a game that we absolutely should win. And the Copa de la Liga will be over by then. Like Facu said, there's no Copa Sudamericana in between the semifinals of the Copa de la Liga and the final. No Copa Sudamericana. So when we play Sportivo Trinidense in Paraguay, it should be full strength. And then when we host Nacional Potosí at La Bombonera, it should be full strength. So one would imagine, hypothetically speaking, Boca can end the group with 10 points if we win our next two games. And then, again, we're playing Fortaleza at home in La Bombonera, so we need to take care of business there.
Gabi, sorry to interrupt. Fortaleza plays against Nacional in the altitude. Nacional is absolutely terrible. We know that. But Brazilians are not very good at going to the altitude. I think that yesterday Flamengo lost against Bolívar or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Nacional can scratch a 1-0 against Fortaleza. And then if we win out, we're first.
Yeah. Yeah, now we're seeing the repercussions of Boca going up to Bolivia and playing it or dominating the game. Wasn't overwhelmingly dominating, but Boca was the better side. And we ended up drawing. Now we're seeing the repercussions of not winning that game. So Fortaleza have a huge lead in first place, and everything looks pretty packed the rest of the group. We all have 3 games played, but Boca have to take care of business against Sportivo Trinidense in Paraguay, Nacional Potosí at home, and Fortaleza at home. Maybe we can squeeze out first place if either Sportivo Trinidense or Nacional Potosí are able to defeat or draw against Fortaleza. Then maybe we have a chance to win the group, but we have to rely on other results. Other than that, we will most likely clinch second place if we take care of business, like I said.
If Fortaleza doesn't lose next game, that's it. Because
They're done.
Plus 9 differential goals, mm-hmm. and we have minus 1.
Then Wednesday, May 8th is Nacional Potosí, Fortaleza. Go ahead, guys. Okay.
I think they beat. Did they beat Nacional?
They beat everyone. Yeah, they won. They won all 3.
5-0.
Yes, a ton of.
They won 5-0 at home, and then they beat Sportivo Trinidense 2-0 in Paraguay. They're a strong side. They're undefeated at home in Brazil.
I mean, yeah, they got to the final last year.
Yeah, right.
They lost to the final last year.
We knew this when the group was drawn, that Fortaleza is a strong side. They have some really good players. They have an excellent thing going with, I think his name is Bogboda, their Argentine coach. He's doing phenomenal work over there. The fans love him. The players love him. He's really convincing. They have an interesting project. And we knew this when the group was drawn, that Fortaleza was going to be the toughest side, without a doubt.
Yeah, but I'm still Boca.
Oh, absolutely. No. I agree. There's no excuse here. There's no excuse. Boca needs to win this group. What I'm saying is that if we don't get a result from one of the other teams, either drawing or beating Fortaleza, hopefully it's Nacional Potosí in Bolivia. At that point in time, maybe there'll be nothing to play for Nacional Potosí, and they'll just go all out. Or maybe the reverse can happen. They'll field the second string lineup and focus on their domestic league, and Fortaleza will batter them in Bolivia. I mean, it's either one of the two sides of the coin, right? So that's that. Anything else you guys would like to add before we close this one out?
Not really.
No, not at all.
Is he though? Nothing?
I think we covered everything. No, I think we covered everything, I think. But we haven't... I'll tell you what I would say. We can't say that we've had any predicted lineups or anything yet for Estudiantes. There's still a way to go. It's not on the weekend, it's on Tuesday. The players have just got back from Brazil in the last couple of hours, so we would preview the game in a much better way if we could.
Same team that defeated River. Same exact team.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think there's any injuries. I don't think there's any suspensions. There's no red cards, and I'm pretty sure when we played River, all yellow cards were cleared for the playoff stage of the Copa de Liga. All the yellow cards were cleared, so there's nobody in danger of being suspended for the semifinal or potential final. So that's that. I'm just taking a quick look. This guy Pikachu really killed us, huh?
God's sake. I've seen loads of memes this morning.
He was so good. He was a danger all first half. Pochettino was looking for him. I think the only positive from the match last night was when Senon and Advíncula came on. You could sort of saw a little change in the balance of the game, the momentum of the game. Also could have been the fact that Fortaleza was up 4-1 and they weren't really looking to go up 5 or strain themselves out too much. That also could have contributed to that. But when Senon and Advíncula came on, I saw a change in attitude and momentum. And then we finally got a consolidation goal from Senon, an absolute strike. I don't know what the goalie did with that save, the Fortaleza goalie, but a really nice goal from Senon. Anyways, guys, I think that'll wrap it up. I'll ask one last time. Guy, Faku, anything else you guys want to add?
Nope.
We're done, I think.
Excellent. Okay. So to our listeners, we have Estudiantes semifinal Copa de la Liga, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Argentina time, if I'm not mistaken, Tuesday, April 30th. That's our next match. Faku, Gaisito, thank you guys so much for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time.